Today's Shir's Masechta Bava Basra Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah Amar Vishmal B'medva Marmurim B'stei Eleven, where the Vishmal say that 18 months is required. That's by Stei Eleven. Aval B'stei Ilan, in a field with trees. There we learned that Rishmal's opinion is that Karnasis Tvasai, you gathered the grain, Masak Azesov, and you gathered the olives, Karnasis Kaitzai, and you brought in the figs, Harael Shalashanim, bringing in those three different crops is considered as if you had a chazok of 3 years. So says the Gemara, Abaya, based on what Rishmal said, Abaya uses that to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim did not agree with what Rabbi Shmuel just said about how a chazaka is accomplished, but he says that from Rabbi Shmuel we learn if you ate just some of the trees on a field, you didn't take fruit from every food from every tree in the field, you could still establish a chazaka. Amar Abaya, mid Rabbi Shmuel, that based on Rabbi Shmuel, that says that from these three different crops, if you had those three different crops, you will be able to be considered as if you had a chazaka, even though it was only part of the field. Because as we just understood, this field that we're learning, you're establishing a chazaka in, has different crops on the field. And even though it has different crops on the field, the halacha is that it's considered, even though it has different crops on the field, so you didn't eat, when you eat from one thing, you're obviously not eating from the entire field. It's enough to establish a chazaka. Nishmal Rabbanan, we will be able to understand according to Rabbanan, well, you'll have if you had 30 trees that are planted in the ratio of mata asar lebeisa, 10 trees in the beisa. And as the Rishonim point out, the number the Gemara is giving of 30 trees in one saw is the same would be if you had 30 trees, it would be the same if the field we were talking about was a field that just had 10 trees in that ratio of one saw, and you ate from three of the trees in 1 year, three of the trees in the next year, and from four of the trees in the year after. The reason the Gemara speaks about 30 trees to teach us that every year, if you're only eating from 10 trees, that means you're leaving over 20 trees every year. And even though you're leaving over 20 trees every year, it's still not going to prevent you, even according to Rabbanon, that you have a chazaka. The Agos Maimonis has a different explanation why the Gemara gave this number of 30 trees. Because as we just discussed, we're going to have an issue if it's 10 trees, because it's not going to be an even number of every year, 3, 3, and 4. The Gemara wanted that we should have an even number, that every year you're eating from 10 trees. So it's speaking here about trees that are young, that we learned earlier in our Masechta, that the shear of their, that the way that such a tree, such trees can grow properly is if you have the ratio of 10 trees in a base saw. But when we have older, larger trees, there we learned on Daf Chavov, the shear is 3 trees in a base saw. So that's why Taisha says that our Gemara is speaking about younger trees. The Ritva says that even larger, older trees, the shear is still 10 to a base saw. We learned the shears 3 to base saw. That was only regarding a different halacha. We learned that the halacha is that already in the sixth year, the year before Shemitah, there are limitations on how you can work on the field. So we learned that that halacha is, but that halacha, there's an exemption to the halacha under certain circumstances. So there, those numbers were relevant. For what we're learning in our shiur today, those numbers are not relevant. So again, that if you had 10 trees in a beisah, and you ate 10, from 10 of those trees in this year, then you ate from 10 other trees the next year, then from the 10 other trees in the third year, so even though you didn't eat from all the trees every year, it's still going to establish a chazaka. Because as Rabbi Shmuel just taught us, that you don't have to eat from all the trees in a field. You don't have to eat from all the trees in the field to establish chazaka. However, let's say there was more than a base saw for 10 trees. Then the halacha, says the Rashbam, would be different. Because then you have too much empty space. And then the Rashbam says you would have to eat from all the trees. Tosfos disagrees. He says that in such a case, you wouldn't have a chazaka at all. Not even from the trees that you ate. From the Rashbam, you would have a chazaka from the trees that you ate from. And from Tosfos, you wouldn't have a chazaka at all. And the Gemara now teaches us how we came to this conclusion. Lami Am Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rabbi Shmuel said that we ate chad peira from the, we spoke about a field that has different crops, and we spoke that you ate chad peira, you ate from one of the types of fruit 1 year, and that's enough, have a chazaka, it's enough to establish a chazaka for all the types of fruit that are in this property, even though you didn't eat from those types at all. So therefore, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel said in our, that's why Rabbi Shmuel said in our Mishnah, that if you ate from the grain 1 year, and you ate from the different, and you ate from the olives next year, it's going to be enough to establish a chazaka. Since, so we see that eating from one type is enough to make a chazaka for other types. Hachanami, according to the Rabbanon, you don't have, from one type to the next type, we don't have a chazaka. But Hani, but if you ate from one type, but just some of the tree, just from some of the trees of that type, have a chazaka lahani, it'll be enough to establish a chazaka for the other types. For Hani, and for other trees. V'hani, have a chazaka lahani. So, as the Rashbam explains, what Abai is saying is that the machloikus of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chamim is limited, is if you could establish a chazaka from one type of fruit to another type of fruit. But within one type of fruit, you don't have to eat all of them to establish a chazaka. The Hanimili, says the Gemara, and what we said, that this is a way to establish a chazaka, hecha dela afiku. That's in a situation that you did not, the fruit trees from which you did not eat from did not produce fruit this year. Aval afiku, if those trees from which you did not eat did produce fruit, v'loy ochal, and you didn't eat from that fruit, lo yav a chazaka, then you wouldn't have a chazaka. The fact that you didn't eat from those fruits, even though there was fruit available, it indicates that why didn't I eat from those fruits? I didn't eat from those fruits because I knew that I don't really have ownership on this property. And since I knew that I don't have ownership on this property, I was reluctant to eat because I was, no, I don't really own this property. But says the Gemara, that this that was saying, eating from some, that the Rabbanon hold, that eating from some of the fruit trees could establish a chazaka for other trees, for who? The Bazi Bazuzi. It's only in a case where all the trees from my ate from are dispersed over the entire property. And That means, as using the example of the Gemara began that we're talking about a field that has 10 trees per saw. So that means you have a total of 30 trees over 3 saw. So you didn't eat from 10 trees in 1 saw. You ate from trees that are dispersed over the 3 saw. But if you only ate from 1 saw per year, so there the Rabbanon don't speak. That won't be the case that Abaye speaks about. The Achroinim point out, what would be the halacha if you didn't eat that way? What is that going to be? Is going to be a chazaka, at least for what you ate? Or since you didn't eat from the entire field, you wouldn't have a chazaka at all. And the reason they have this question is because the Gemara changes the wording of the changing the wording. A moment ago, the Gemara says, "Hani mila hecha deloy afiku, ava afiku v'loy achlo loy ava chazaka." Here, the Gemara says, "Vehu debazi abuzuzi," but the Gemara didn't say the flip side, "V'loy bazi bezuzi." And if you didn't do that, you don't have a chazaka. The fact that the Gemara did not change its wording seems to indicate that this both sides of the coin seems to indicate that in this case you could still somewhat be able to create, to have a chazaka. Says the Gemara, Hechzik Beilonis, if somebody, as we're going to learn in our sugya today, the Gemara speaks about often in Masechet Bava Basra, where somebody buys trees, he didn't buy the property. And the question is, what do you own in the property? And as far as our sugya is concerned, the question is, how do you establish a chazaka? So says the Gemara, Hichzik Beilonis. If somebody made a chazaka, in the trees, yeah, you did an act of kinyan in a tree, and that's one person. V'zeh hechzik b'karka. And one did a kinyan chazaka, as we often discuss in our shiurim. In order to take ownership of a property, you have to do a chazaka. And there are different ways of making a chazaka. And that's the way the Rashbam learns. The Agamara is speaking about, Rashbam says the Agamara is speaking about, when the word says the word hechzik, it's talking about having made a chazaka. Tosfos doesn't agree with the Rashbam's pshat, because he says if our Gemara here is speaking about how you take ownership of a property, our perek, even though it's of course speaking extensively about chazaka, is not talking about kinyan chazaka. It's talking about the chazaka, a proof of ownership, and that's why Tosfos has a different pshat. And he says that chichzik means having a chichzik in this Gemara is speaking about a chazaka itself. The Tzoy says that why does Rashbam explain it that way? Because otherwise the Gemara won't really be understandable how to understand the Gemara. But again, chichzik b'ilonis, zeh chichzik b'ilonis, zeh chichzik b'karka, amar of zeh kana ilonis, the person that did the act of chazaka on his property, and of course, even according to the Rashbam, we're going to have to say that after he did this act of kinyan, he was on the property in a way that he creates a chazaka. So zeh kana ilonis, this person has a chazaka on the ilonis, v'zeh kana karka, and this one has a chazaka on the karka. Maskla rapapa, ask rapapa, im kain, if you're saying that if somebody only does an act of chazaka on the tree, it doesn't create a chazaka on the property, so why doesn't the person who established a chazaka on the property, why isn't he able to say to the person who owns the trees, take away your trees, because your trees are on my property? Elam Rapapa, because of this question, says Rapapa, zeh kana ilonis, v'chatzi karka. V'zeh kana chatzi karka. The person who has the chazaka on the tree has not just a chazaka on the tree, but he has a chazaka on the ground under that tree, and the person has a chazaka, and the person who bought the karka has a chazaka on the rest of the karka. So the way Rashbam explains the Gemara, that even though the Gemara uses the word zeh kana ilonis with zeh kana karka, and the Gemara is saying that it means that this person has a chazaka on the tree and the property under it, and this one has a chazaka on the karka, and Gemara used chatzi chatzi, it's not to be understood exactly chatzi chatzi. It's not 50-50. The Gemara uses that wording, but that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means to say is that whatever is under the trees gets the property under all the trees, and the person and whatever property the trees need, and the rest, it doesn't necessarily have to be 50-50. That's the first pshat of the Rashbam. The second pshat that the Rashbam says that it is divided 50-50. Why? Because the Rashbam in that pshat says, what's going to be if this entire field needs, if this entire property, if the trees on this property need all the land on the property to grow? So according to the first pshat of the Rashbam, the person who bought the property will have nothing. And the Gemara finds it difficult to accept that the Rashbam says it's difficult to accept that he should end up with nothing. And because of that, in that pshat, the Rashbam says that he gets 50-50. Dar Sameach was asked the question. This is Dar Sameach in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. There was a shul that on Simchas Torah sold many aliyahs from the entire year. The aliyahs that was sold was that they sold the last aliyah of the Sefer, the aliyah that we know as Chazak. Another person bought all for the entire year the last aliyah before Akron, and now the question comes up that Parshas Shkolim was Parshas Pekudei, it was also Rosh Chodesh Adar. So the person who gets Shishi reads till the end of the Parsha. The person who gets Shvi gets the Aliyah for Rosh Chodesh. And the person who gets Mafter gets Parshas Shkolim. So now the question is, who will get the Aliyah of Chazak? Parshas Pekudei is the end of Sefer Shmos. On one hand, that Aliyah is the Aliyah that's the Aliyah before Akron, the person who's getting Akron being Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, there's a person who bought all the Chazak Aliyahs for the entire year. So what should we do? Who will get the Aliyah? So the Arsan Meach says, from our Gemara we can learn that the person who bought the Aliyah of Chazak will get the Chazak Aliyah this Shabbos as well. And he explains, when two people buy a property, just our Gemara that we learned now, Zeh Kana Ilonis, Zeh Kana Karka, Zeh Hechzik Ilonis, Zeh Hechzik Bekarka, and we have a dilemma in our Gemara. The dilemma we had in our Gemara was that we can't give, how are we going to divide up the property? And we just discussed that because we don't know what to do, we give everybody a share. We had the two pshatim in the Rashbam, how we divide up that share, but we is it 50-50, or does this person get what's under the trees, and the other person get the balance? But we see from here that we have to come up with a solution when we have such a dilemma. Says the Or Sameach, in our case as well, if we're going to give the Aliyah Chazak to the person who bought for the entire year the last Aliyah before Akron, so then the person who bought the Aliyah's Chazak will have nothing available to him. But if we'll give the person who bought the last aliyah before Achron, will give him shishi, then the person who bought Chazak will be able to get Chazak. And what we'll say is that how will we understand it? He bought the aliyah before Achron, and he's not getting the aliyah before Achron. The answer we'll have to give is that it means in one sefer. In order to avoid, that's what we'll have to do in order to satisfy everybody. The Shailas Teshuva is Chelkas Yaakov, Ora Chaim, Simon Reish Beis, discusses a question where there were two individuals who had a chazaka and a matzah bakery to bake on Shushan Purim, the day after Purim. Another person had a chazaka to bake on the first Sunday after Purim. And one year, Shushan Purim was on Shabbos. So now the issue is, who's going to bake on Sunday? The person who says that I bake the first day after Purim says I get Sunday because that's the first day of baking after Purim. The other person says I have the chazaka on the first Sunday after Purim, and that is today. So he quotes the Shari Tshuva, who says a similar question. When you have two Balei Tekeah in a shul, and one has a chazaka to blow on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and the second one has a chazaka to blow on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, what will be the halach in a year when Rosh Hashanah, when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos? So now these two people again come with a din Torah. The person who always blows on the first day says, I have the chazaka to blow on the first day that we're able to blow, which this year is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The second person says, well, I have a chazaka to blow on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and today is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Shari Tshuva quotes the Panim Iris, that he says that the person who has the chazaka to blow on the first day prevails. But the Shari Tshuva himself says that he doesn't agree, and he says actually the person who has the chazaka to blow on the second day prevails. Says the Chalkas Yaakov, the question that we're discussing is the same, but the Ali is the same. Because when the person who got the schus to blow on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or when that person, he brings the Or Sameach, that we see from here that when the person had the schus to buy the Aliyah before Achron, is pushed back. So because the first person cannot push away the person who bought Aliyah's Chazak. The same thing, the person who has the Chazaka to blow on the first day cannot push away the person who has the Chazaka on the second day. And the person who has the Chazaka for Sunday after Purim cannot be pushed away. And he says, when we look at the tshuva of the Or Sameach, the reason the Or Sameach was able to come up with that tshuva is that because there was some sort of solution. But in our case, apparently, they're not going to be able to bake for both of them on that Sunday. So we have to make a choice, and that's why he says that the person this year can't get the first day after Purim, because somebody has a chazaka for that day. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Says the Gemara, it's obvious that in a case where Mocha Karka, somebody sold property, Vishai Ilas Lefonov, and he left some of the trees on that property for himself. The halacha is, Yesh Le Karka. That person certainly kept some property for himself, for the trees that he kept for himself. And now the Gemara introduces a concept which we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. If somebody sold a home and he left for himself in the home certain parts of the property, and he left a bar of adus, the Gemara explains that those are different types of pits, and he left that the bar of adus are not included in what he sold. And the halach, and now, but he sold the rest of the property to somebody. Now he kept that bar, but he has to be able to get to that bar. So the question is, do we say that he certainly left for himself a path to that bar, or do we say that he has to now go back to the person whom he sold the property to and buy a path to the bar? Could we say, if he sold it, he sold it in a generous way? So says the Gemara, I feel even somebody who sells something, sells it generously, the halach is hanimili, that's in a case where, just as we just described, gabe bar v'dos, that he didn't keep himself a path to get there. D'lemachshi ba'ara, because the bar v'dos don't affect the rest of the property, and therefore, the person who bought the property could plant even on the border of that bar v'dos. And Aval, when somebody who sold property kept some of the trees on the property, the machshi ara, that of course the trees sap out nutrients from the ground around them, and their roots go past the tree itself, as we've learned so many times in Amasachta, shuri shaira, it must be that everybody would agree that he left himself over property, he left himself over some property for himself. Dilai shaira, because if that's not what happened, lemele, then the buyer of the property will always have the opportunity to say to the buyer, "Karelot of Azil, your trees are interfering with my property," and therefore, since that clearly is something that the person doesn't want should happen, so obviously he left himself property. But says the Gemara, "Macher Ilonis," if somebody sold trees, v'shaya kak lefonov, and he left himself some property, says the Gemara, plukta Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. That will be a situation where Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan disagree. Le Rabbi Kiva d'amar, according to Rabbi Kiva, whose opinion is meicher ve'en yofa meicher, islay, the buyer will have the property that under that property to put up other trees. Or if the trees that the seller kept will die, he'll be able to put up new trees. Rabbanan, leslie. According to Rabbanan, they won't. And the basis of this is a Gemara, explains the Rashbam, that we're going to learn later in the Masechta Pei Aleph, that there's a difference between when three trees were sold, then the halacha is that you keep the land around it, versus if it's only two trees, we don't keep the land around it. So the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph says that if one buys three trees in somebody else's property, the halach is the buyer gets the land around the trees. The Tanakhama says in that Mishnah that if one only bought one or two trees in that property, he does not. If one bought only one or two trees in that property, he doesn't get rights to the land beneath the trees. Then the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph says that, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that when somebody sells a field which contains a pit, the pit, Rabbi Kiva says, Meicher ben Yofa Meicher, and he sold the entire field, including the path to his pit. The Chum disagree, and the Gemara hold the Meicher ben Meicher, and he does not include the pit in his sale. Our Gemara says that if somebody sells trees and retains the land for himself, there's a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and the Chumim, if the buyer receives the land beneath the trees and the right to replant the trees when they die. According to Rabbi Kiva, who says that Meicher ben Yofa Meicher, we assume that the seller included the land beneath the trees in the sale of the trees. Whereas according to the Chumim, who say Meicher ben Ra Meicher, we assume that the seller did not include the land in the sale of the trees, and therefore if the trees die, he can't replant his trees. How do we reconcile our Gemara with the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph, explains the Rashba that the Gemara here is discussing the sale of one or two trees. The Mishnah over there is speaking about the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph, the Tanakam of that Mishnah, is following the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold Meicher Bein Rau Meicher. Rekiva disagrees with the Tana Kama, and his opinion is that Meicher Bein Yofu Meicher, and therefore, even if you only sold two trees, the land under it is included. And that's the way to understand our Gemara and the Gemara over there. The Meiri has a different way of understanding the sugya. He says the Mishnah Pei Aleph refers to a field which has many trees, and somebody only sold two trees of those many trees. Rekiva, in such a case, will agree that the seller did not mean to sell the land forever to the buyer. Our Gemara speaks about a field that only has three trees, only has the trees that were sold. In such a case, Rekiva is of the opinion, since he sold all the trees on the field, he included the land under it. And Tosfos also says that Rabbi Kiva agrees with the Mishnah that says the one who sells only one or two trees does not mean to include the land in the sale. He says our Gemara is speaking when somebody bought a field with many trees. But in contrast to the Mishnah, where the seller did not explicitly mention anything about the land, in our Mishnah, the seller explicitly included the land from the sale that he wants and said he wants to keep the land for himself. Rabbi Kiva is still of the opinion that Meicher Bein Yofu Hu Meicher, and we say Chiddush according to Tosfos that although he clearly stipulated that he wants to keep the land, he means to keep the land surrounding the trees, but not the land that's beneath the trees. So again, Macher, somebody sold, and we're learning like the Rashbam, two trees. V'shaya kakel lefanov, plink to the Rebbe Kiva Rabbanan. Kiva dam v'meich ben yofa meicher islay, the buyer will keep that land. Rabbanan, leslay, and if the tree dies, he won't be able to get that land. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Kiva, the islay, according to Rebbe Kiva, that says that the buyer keeps the land, says the Gemara, feeler of Zvid, according to the opinion of Zvid, the Omer that says that the Gemara we just learned, that if two people bought a property together, the owner of the trees doesn't get the property. The halacha is, Rav Zvid holds that, not like Rabbi Kiva, but rather the person who buys trees does not get the property. The halacha is, Hani Mili, when was that said? As we just learned before, that was a case of Hani Mili Shnei Lekuchas, in a case of two buyers. So as we keep on repeating in our shir, we have to satisfy somehow both of them. Damalekech, the Ledi Lesli Belonis, the buyer of the property says, I have no right in the trees. Ledidoch, Nami Leslach Bekarka, you don't have a right in the property. Avalhocher, and our Gemara, Meicher Bein Yofa Meicher, and certainly somebody who sold trees meant to sell it generously with the land under it. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan de Leslay, and according to Rabbanan that said that the buyer of the tree doesn't get a part of the property, says the Gemara, not only according to what Rav Zvid told us before, where you had two buyers, one bought trees and one bought property, but Filu Rapapa, according to Rapapa, Dhamma that says that the owner of the tree does have a share in the property. Hani Mili, when was Rapapa said in a case of Shnei Lekuchas? Dhamma like Yechad Ledach Sovim Bein Yofa, just like he sold to you in a generous way, that you should be able to have trees with fruit forever. Nami Zovim Bein Yofa, Aval Hocha, where the person who owns the trees sold it to somebody else, certainly he says, Meicher Bein Rau Meicher, and he kept for himself the property, and he only sold them the trees, and therefore if the trees will die, they won't have any rights to replant on that property. Our Gemara just taught us the machlekes of Meicher ben Ram, Meicher ben Yav Meicher. So the halacha is that if somebody gives a matana, everybody agrees that nice matana, that if you give a gift, ben yafu nice, you give it generously. And the Alt of Slobodka, in his Sefer Chochmas HaMatzpin, says that we could argue logically just the opposite. We could say that when I sell something, so I want to be able to satisfy the person who paid me. And therefore, maybe I could say there, Meicher ba'ein yafu meicher. But when I give a gift, I don't have anything from the person who gave me the gift. So whatever I'm doing, we should say I don't have to do it. If I didn't have to do it, I shouldn't have to be considered I gave it generously. Why is the halacha not like that? So he says that the difference between somebody selling something versus somebody giving a gift is when somebody sells something, he's not looking for the welfare of the person to whom he sold it to. He's looking for his own welfare. How does he accomplish that? By selling and getting money for what he sold. But the person who's receiving what he sold is not on his mind at all. When he gives a gift, that he wasn't obligated to give the gift. So when he gave a gift, what obviously was his consideration? His consideration was the welfare of the person to whom he gave a gift. Since that was his consideration, everybody will agree, gave it generously. Based on this, explains the altar, we can understand the difference when people do favors to each other versus when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does good for us. When somebody does a favor for someone else, even if it's a favor, there's always, as the Chovei Salvava says, there's always something that's attached to it. I did you a favor because you did something nice for me. I do you a favor because I expect you to do something nice for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because people need each other. And therefore, there are obviously always considerations when people do things for somebody else. But when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he does for us, is just a representation of his tremendous generosity. And that's what he says, that a person, we can have a question of Meicher ben Yafa Meicher, Meicher ben Rahu Meicher. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always ben Yah. And that's why a person who does a favor for another person is only going to do that favor if he, as we said, because he expects something back and or got already something. But if that expectation is not there, if that expectation doesn't come out, so he regrets or he won't do a favor again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who when he does for us, does not expect anything from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who when he does for us, doesn't expect anything from us. That's why he continues doing good for us, even in times that we don't act appropriately. Says the Gemara. The Gemara goes back to the halacha of how do we establish chazaka in different types of fields. Amr Nedah, Ochle Ritzufim. Somebody ate peiros from a property for 3 years, that the trees are all next to each other. And there are more than 10 trees in a beisah. Ela chazaka. It's not considered a chazaka. Because, as we learned, when you have trees crowded together, more than 10 trees in a beisah, those trees are not going to last. And since those trees are not going to last, it's not the way a chazaka is established. Says the Gemara, Maskula Rava, El Me'ata, according to that, Hai Mishra Despasa, a field that is planted for animal grass. And every 30 days, the grass is uprooted and they throw it to the animals and they plant other grass. But my Kanalei, how could you ever have a chazaka of Shalashonim? And we learned on Daf Chav Ches that you could have a chazaka in such a property as well. El Amarava, Machon Ritzufim. If somebody sold a property where the trees are so crowded together. And we've been learning throughout our shiur a discussion if you have a chazak, if you get the trees or you get the land on the trees, what land do you get? Here you won't get the karka. Well, Eloi karka, he doesn't get the karka. Because when do we say that somebody who buys trees gets the property under them? That's only said when we have a property that the trees are going to be able to stay there. So since the trees are going to be able to stay there, we discuss, are the trees, are the land included or not? But in a case where the trees will not be able to remain because they're too crowded, he certainly doesn't get the karka. Amar Rav Zeira, this discussion that we just had is actually a machlokes tanoim. The Mishnah Masechet Kelayim, Parakei Mishnah Beis, teaches us, Karam shenutu apach mi'arba amas. If somebody who planted a vineyard where there isn't four amas between the rows of the trees, Rav Shimon Amar Ein Karen, that doesn't have the halacha of Karen, of a Karim, the Chama Imrim, the Yesh Arez a Karim, it does have a halacha of a Karim. And the reason is because if there's no four amas in between, there's not going to be room for the animals that plow and the animals that work to pass through. Royin, and therefore the Chama say, Royin Amatsoyim, the trees that are between the rows, Kila Enim, because the trees that are there have to be uprooted. And therefore, what Rava said, that when you have trees that are so crowded together, the following is obviously following the opinion of Rav Shimon and not the opinion of the Chamim. So we learned in our shir that when some machloikis, and the Gemara said that when somebody bought the property and somebody else bought the tree, the person who bought the property could say, just like I don't own any of the trees, nami. But here, then they were compared to the case of Moichem ben Yofel Moichem. And the Torah in Parshas Korach says, L'chol kotshei b'nei Yisrael, l'chol nesatim l'moshcha ul'v'necha ad oylem. It speaks about the Matnas Kahuna. And the question is, why does the Pasuk have to use the word ad oylem? So Panim Yofis asks that the question is, Truma only started being relevant when they came to Eretz Yisrael. So at the time that this pasuk was said, it was a Dovah Shlah B'loilam. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Truma, why is it a valid Nesina? It's a Dovah Shlah B'loilam. So some Paiskim suggest, if I sell or give a Dovah Shlah B'loilam together with a Dovah Habah B'loilam, it's effective. Our Gemara just said that Moicha Ba'in Yofa Moicha. And the same thing, as we explained earlier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives Ba'in Yofa. And what happened, therefore, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Karka. At this point, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael they're going to have to give Truma, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say when he was giving that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say, I'm going to give you the Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Since I'm going to give you the Karka of Eretz Yisrael, the transaction now becomes a valid transaction. Because the Karka, the land, is already here. And as we just said, if you give a Dova Habal Olam together with something that's not Baal Olam, then the kinyan on the Dovah Shlah Baal Olam would be a valid kinyan. That's why the Pasuk says the Baharim Yafas, Ad Olam, I'm giving it to you in a way that you could get the Truma forever and not be concerned that what I gave you was a Dovah Shlah Baal Olam.